This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues Tom Johnson and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Long War Journal. We're discussing the breaking news from Afghanistan, which is fog of war. We can't be clear. The first three reports are always wrong. I learned many years ago when dealing with Afghanistan. First three reports. So you give the report and you wait. We are discussing how we got here, which is not first three reports, first 300,000 reports of Afghanistan. However, Bill and Tom have a podcast I highly recommend, Generation Jihad, in which they discuss how a map that they keep at Long War Journal, which is a think tank, a Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, how that map became controversial. Let's leave it there as a political word. Controversial these last years. And Tom, I learned from you that the present commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, General Miller, and the previous commander of U.S. forces, General Nicholson, had different understandings of what their mission could be, should be in Afghanistan. And it speaks to this map. First, I took note of your mention that in November 2017, General Nicholson, Jr., then commanding U.S. forces and Resolute Support, our allies with us in Afghanistan, said the mission was population control. Did I hear that correctly, Bill? And what did he mean by that, General Nicholson? Tom.
Yes, that's what General Nicholson. So what we're talking about here is the U.S. military had a standard for success in Afghanistan when the figures, as Bill explained, didn't show that they were meeting that standard for success. They then changed the goal. They moved the goalposts and they said that's not the standard at all. And this speaks to the failures here, the ongoing failures to the American war effort there, because in 2017, General Nicholson very clearly said, look, the metric we're using here to understand this is population control and looking at the districts and understanding where the Afghan government controls districts and how much control they're able to exert over them. By 2018, the U.S. military leadership decided under General Miller that was no longer, you're talking about less than a year later, that was no longer the standard they were going to look at. And the reason is exactly why Bill explained, because incrementally the Taliban was making gains and was slowly encircling these provincial capitals, these populated centers, with the hopes of taking them over one day once the U.S. and NATO forces left. U.S. military didn't want to tell that story, so they stopped releasing the data on the districts in Afghanistan and their status. This is one of those things where, you know, critics of the war have a lot of points to make that are logical and are factual. And this is one of them, that the U.S. military leadership has really performed pretty poorly here. And part of that story is they've been dishonest. They've been dishonest with themselves and they've been dishonest with the public. You know, a lot of times you don't know if they're just lying to themselves or they're lying to us, but the point is they're lying either way because they should have known that the security situation was deteriorating. Bill could have told you from documenting this map it so closely and with so many hours of work he puts into it over the years that the situation was deteriorating. So the question is, why didn't they know that and why didn't they explain that to everybody?
I also took a note, Tom, that you and General Austin Miller, who's now in command as the withdrawal proceeds, said that it was not population control. This is October of 2018 is my note. It was political settlement, pointing to the Trump administration's ambition in conversations in Doha with the so-called Taliban representatives to resolve the conflict in a peaceful manner. Did they stop? Did the DOD stop using the map at that point, Tom?
They did, John. And so now that this is what I mean by they moved the goalposts, because what they did was they changed the standard to the status of this so-called political settlement, the negotiations with the Taliban. They said, well, that's all that really matters because, you know, we're going to reach this deal with the Taliban that's going to basically end the war for us. Well, John, here we sit now a couple years after that standard was put in place, and we know definitively, we knew it at the time, of course, we knew it beforehand, and we knew it immediately after, but we certainly know it now a couple years later, that standard has failed as well, that there has been no political settlement between the Taliban and the Afghan government, that the Taliban used the period of negotiations with the U.S. to advance its military interests, and the U.S. was trying to pretend that the situation was otherwise. The U.S. and our NATO allies forced the Afghan government to play for a draw, to play for this political settlement in the Afghan war. Meanwhile, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were playing for victory. And that's part, again, of the failure here of the U.S. military leadership. They were outfoxed by the Taliban and Al-Qaeda military strategists who understood that this political process in Doha between the U.S. and the Taliban was going to which the Afghan government was locked out of, was in fact going to basically keep the Afghan government in this sort of middle ground, this sort of keep them in neutral, not playing for victory, not launching offensives, not trying to actually win the war, while meanwhile the jihadis were going to fight to win. And that's part of the failure here.
Bill, to your map, because that becomes a document that contemporaneously records this changing mission of the U.S. military, perhaps leading to where we are now, which is a quandary begging a failure. You report, Bill, that you did trust the statistics that you got from SIGAR. What is SIGAR, Bill, and how did they help you? Starting about 2015 is my note.
Yes, the SIGAR is the Special Investigator General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It's sort of a watchdog for what's happening in Afghanistan, falls under. And so SIGAR was gathering its data from the Department of Defense. I wouldn't say I trust it. I trust SIGAR, the data provided, and they're using data provided by the Department of Defense. But what it was with that data that they, that I was able to obtain, was at least a baseline for me. So it, and what I predicted that this map would show is that the U.S. military was downplaying, since they had five levels of what a district can be. They had contested influence, either government or Taliban, or controlled by either the Taliban or the Afghan government, which they changed that later on because they didn't like saying Taliban control, so they would call it Taliban influence. But anyway, I predicted that they would be, that they would be downplaying like a controlled district either to influence or an influence to contested, that sort of thing to make the numbers. But even the Department of Defense's best case scenario, I was tracking somewhere between 5% and 15% of their estimate. When you would tally the numbers up of basically of controlled and contested, when you put everything together, I was in the ballpark with them. Of course, my picture was a little bit darker, but it wasn't significantly darker. And also there was a delay. Their data was typically, by the time it was published, it was either 3 to 6 months old, depending, whereas my data is always up to date. But, I would say that information was very useful in my work, particularly at the beginning when reporting on a lot of these districts was not available. And I learned that several districts were under Taliban control that I had no idea because there's no news coming out of these areas, and some were contested that I just did not have information. And one thing, though, as time has gone on, the Afghan press and the Taliban have both gotten better at reporting on this. So it's been an interesting process. This map is not perfect. It's an attempt to show what's happening. I certainly could take, well, today, I'm sure I could look at my map and we could dispute 20 districts and either call them, switch them from controlled or contested either way. I mean, but what that map will show you is that the security situation is not good. And the situation for the Afghan government is not good, and that many provincial capitals are surrounded or being choked by the Taliban.
Yeah, there was one district, one province, where you identified the reporting coming out of the DOD was completely inconsistent with facts that you could demonstrate. That was Helmand. Yes. The Correct. Taliban and Al-Qaeda both have prospered in Helmand province. I believe the year here is 2018. I'm not sure, Bill, because it's a moving story. What about Helmand province? Where was it at that time and where is it today? Do we know?
Yeah, so once I started to see the actual data, not get the, well, actually this occurred before I got the full data set. So the way SIGAR would release, and again, this is based on the information given to them by the Department of Defense. SIGAR would do things, say things like, you know, 30 districts are controlled and, you know, 45 are contested. So I just get a percentage and I could match those to my numbers, right? And go, but I wasn't actually comparing apples to apples. But I remember one report, they gave the specifics of Helmand province. And this is again, how this is what I predicted and how I knew that the Department of Defense was fudging information. And I believe that it was either 2017 or 2018, John. And I got to tell you, as the years go by, this all gets fuzzy in my head. I'd have to actually look it up in the archives, but They released data on Helmand, and anyone who's followed Helmand over the years knows that at any point in time, there's 13 districts in Helmand. The Taliban controls at least 6 to 8 of them, and the rest of them are contested. That's how Helmand has looked for years. It looks a little worse today. And the Department of Defense was saying, well, only 3 of these districts are controlled and 4 of them are contested, basically was their assessment. And that's where, and then they had everything in these gray areas of government influence and things like that. And that's how I knew that the military was giving the rosiest possible assessment. But even if you took their report at face value, those numbers are not good, in Helmand by the Department of Defense's own reporting on it. So this is something. And today, yeah, Helmand, as I mentioned, Helmand looks really bad. We know that Al-Qaeda runs training camps in Helmand province. This happens at a place called Barham Shah. It's been reported in both Afghan and Pakistani press over the years and the Indian press as well. And the Taliban took control of a town called Goresh in a district of the same name. The whole district is still contested. But it's actually a small city, Goresh. And it's a very important city where there's a lot of lingering government support. And the fact that this district is going to fall to the Taliban and this city is now under Taliban control. And this is happening with the help of Al-Qaeda. We've tracked numerous Al-Qaeda operatives and senior leaders that have been killed or captured in Helmand province over the last couple of years. Al-Qaeda is involved, directly involved in the offensive in Helmand province, and the capture of Goresh City is a major victory, and it could presage the fall of Lashkar Gah, which is the capital of Helmand province.
I'm speaking to Tom Jossen and Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, a chronicle and analysis of the vast canvas of the Ummah, the jihadists from the Mediterranean to the Hindu Kush. We are focusing on Afghanistan because fog of war, well, how we got here, is an important part of where the future takes us. When we come back, we're going to introduce Pakistan's warnings, Pakistan's fears. The border with Pakistan and Afghanistan, the shadow zone, has long been an area where drone strikes have been the story, but no longer, according to the Prime Minister of Pakistan, the border will be closed in the event that the Afghanistan falls to the Taliban. We'll also reintroduce what we know about Al-Qaeda and ISIS in all of these matters. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.